Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. Arts organizations seem always to be struggling, but over the past few years, because of the recession, exploding number of entertainment options in Central Ohio, and many local arts groups are really struggling these days. The Columbus Symphony Orchestra is perhaps the most visible example. Its budget has been nearly cut in half over the past 2 years, going from $12 million in 2008 to $7.5 million next year. The groups are changing the way they do business, and we'll get to that in a moment, but they also got some good news this week from PNC, the financial company that took over National City recently. It announced it will set aside $1.5 million over the next 3 years to fund performing and visual arts in Central Ohio. Mike Gonzarowski is PNC's regional president, and he joins us to talk about the program. Mike, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you, Mike. Glad to be here.
There are a lot of nonprofits in Central Ohio you could have given money to. Why did you choose visual and performing arts?
Well, on that point, in fact, we do. And the signature charitable and community giving that PNC participates in is really designed around early childhood education. It's called the PNC Grow Up Great Program. That, by the way, is a $100 million 10-year commitment that PNC makes available throughout its marketplace. And we're going to continue funding early childhood education activities as well. But we had a number of kind of things come together at the same time that led us to the PNC Arts Alive program. You said it pretty well in terms of some of the challenges that the local arts community is facing, just given the economic environment that we're in. We also recognize that the arts community is an economic engine within this community. It's a vital piece of the civic infrastructure. And PNC is all about economic development because that's good for the community and ultimately good for PNC. National City has been a historic contributor to the arts organizations in this community. And finally, we have a new name. You know, PNC purchased National City a little over a year ago, and we've now actually changed the brand. And we were looking for some way to kind of deal with all those issues and celebrate our new brand. And we thought Arts Alive was a good way to address all these issues.
How does this work?
Well, we're going to be looking for visual and performing arts groups to basically apply for grants. And we'll be taking grant applications, the first series, the first screening, that'll take place closing out on May 7th. By the way, if you're a visual or a performing arts group, you go to www.pncartsalive.com, and you'll see a very succinct one-page kind of application form, and we're hoping that the visual and performing arts groups will first do that. Then, later in this summer, we'll be actually evaluating these grant requests, and we're trying to drive a couple of things here. Show us some programming that's going to build audiences. Show us some programming that's going to diversify your audiences or perhaps address underserved audiences. Let's look at new ways that you can use technology to bring arts out into the public. Let's bring more arts into the public spaces. Mm-hmm. We're hoping with this kind of new and creative programming, we'll be building some sustainable financial footings for these arts groups and always promoting PNC as well.
$25,000 is the size of the grant, so giving away a series of $25,000 grants?
Well, the minimum size will be
$25,000. Minimum is $25,000.
But depending on what kind of requests we get, there's no limit other than the $500,000 per year over the next 3 years. So we'll evaluate these programs. We'll be announcing winners probably sometime in mid-September. And actually cutting the checks yet this year for programming to begin as soon as it can.
We're speaking with Mike Gonzarowski from PNC Bank about the arts funding in Central Ohio. PNC announced this week they're giving $1.5 million over 3 years to arts organizations in Central Ohio. If you'd like to join our conversation, 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And that website that Mike mentioned, we will also put a link on our website as well, to make it easy for folks to find it at WOSU.org/allsides. You mentioned National City was a big donor. This effort, is it match what they were doing, adds to what they were doing?
Actually, more than doubles the amount of resources that we've put into the arts and cultural organizations in our community. So we're pretty excited about that.
This is more than just Franklin County and Columbus.
Correct. We're putting this program out to our what we call our Central Ohio marketplace, and that includes a 14-county area where, in fact, we have banking locations throughout that territory.
Mm-hmm. Who decides who gets these grants? Who are you working with to judge the merits of these applications?
Yeah, the funding for this comes from the PNC Foundation. So the final decision-making authority lies locally with people from PNC Bank and the PNC Foundation. Having said that, we want to work with the arts partners in this community. That's CAPA, that's the GCA, that's the CCLC, the High Arts Council. We're going to be taking input as we get these grant requests so that we're making informed decisions around where the money will do the most good.
Little guys and big guys, do they have an equal chance? Does an independent artist who has a great idea stand as good a chance as, say, the symphony or ballet mat or something like that?
Well, this is clearly not a program just for the big guys. Mm-hmm. The only requirement we have is that the arts organization have an annual budget of a minimum of $150,000 a year in terms of a revenue base. That's the only minimum requirement. Mm-hmm. It's open, again, to any visual or performing arts group that can meet that test.
I'm interested in this new media push, like innovative ways to get these performances, this art out into the community. What kind of things are you looking for? I know you want people to be innovative, but you must have an idea of how folks can use new media, social media, the internet, podcast, whatever.
Yeah, I'm probably the wrong person to be talking about the creative use of technology, but we're actually mirroring a program like this that was introduced in our Philadelphia marketplace. Mm-hmm. And I can speak to one particular dance group that was was awarded an Arts Alive grant there. And they were not only performing in public places, but also broadcasting and Twittering at the same time. And I can't tell you exactly how that all worked, but it was innovative enough to allow them to be a winner.
Is that the key for the long-term future of arts organizations? I mean, there are arts organizations like Children's Theater, but you look at the symphony, it just tends to be perhaps a bit of an older audience. Ballet Met, maybe an older audience. Is that the way they to reach younger people, newer audiences?
I think audience development and audience expansion is something that all arts groups deal with all the time. Mm-hmm. I was a member of the board of the Columbus Symphony here for a number of years, and it was a regular agenda item. Mm-hmm. You know, are we doing enough to serve the people that don't know what a great asset this orchestra is in this community? So I don't think there's anything new about that.
You hoping other businesses, I mean, a lot of businesses do support the symphony and GCAC and other things like that. Are you hoping that this is sort of a challenge to other institutions around the
community?
You know,
we would be flattered if other organizations looked at PNC's leadership here and said, we want to do more of the same or come up with a competing program to put mm-hmm. funding into the arts. Mm-hmm. If we can act as any kind of catalyst here, PNC would be thrilled for that to be the case.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the economic development engine. What's the business strategy behind helping arts groups? How much economic spinoff can a symphony have? Can a ballet met have? Can a small theater have?
Well, most people aren't aware that the nonprofit arts sector alone in the Columbus area is over a $300 million a year enterprise, employing literally hundreds upon hundreds of people, drawing thousands upon thousands of visitors to our venues where these shows are produced and put on. That's what we're talking about. People don't realize that when companies look to stay in Columbus or move to Columbus, the vibrancy of an arts and cultural community is one of those boxes that you better be checking. People don't realize that this huge college student population that is in this community thrives on having access to arts and culture as well. It all adds up, and it's all part of that economic infrastructure, as we like to say.
Being a new company, even though you've taken over National City, do you use that as a recruitment tool to convince executives to come here and work for PNC here in Columbus and Central Ohio? The fact that we have a symphony, a ballet, an opera company, and things like that.
Absolutely. When we showcase our community, that's a key asset that we point out.
Okay. Mike Gonzarowski, Regional President for PNC Bank. Thanks very much for joining us. We will put that pncartsalive.com is the website he mentioned if you have an organization interested in applying for one of these grants. We will also put that link on our website at wosu.org/allsides. Thanks very much for coming in and joining us.
Michael, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
When we come back, we'll talk with the heads of the Columbus Symphony Orchestra and Kappa about their reorganization and partnership and try to get a picture of the long-term future of arts in Central Ohio and the financial resources that might be available to them. When All Sides continues on WOSU 820.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, inside America's coal mines and the Upper Big Branch disaster, we'll go deep on the culture and what went wrong. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point begins this afternoon at 1 o'clock right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. 50 degrees in downtown Columbus, clouds today. There is a chance of rain showers, maybe a little bit of thunderstorms this morning, a high right around 55 today. Clouds and a chance of rain tonight, much cooler, a low of 35 degrees tonight.
Support for WOSU comes from the McCoy Center for the Arts, presenting the acrobats and contortionists in Cirque Mechanics' Birdhouse Factory, April 9th at 6:30 at the McCoy Center for the Arts in New Albany. More at centerforthearts.com.
All Sides continues on WOSU 820, NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. The arts cannot survive on big bank gifts alone. We'll look at the future of arts organizations in here in Columbus, how they can survive and how they can thrive, which is the ultimate goal, and what changes need to be made. Our guests this segment of the program, Roland Valliere, President and CEO of the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. Thank you very much, Roland.
Great to be here.
Bill Connor. He is the president of the Columbus Association for the Performing Arts, or Kappa, as it is known. Bill, thanks very much for coming.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll start with the big news of the season, the partnership you folks have formed. Bill, how is this going to work?
Well, we're going to start to provide back office services for the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. It's something Kappa has been able to pioneer over the last couple of years, and it's a great opportunity for us. I think by doing it, it really will create some stability and hopefully opportunity for our symphony and keep our symphony really very viable in our community.
Roland, the CSO had its troubles a couple of years ago. They had the labor issue that was shut down for a while. We lost the summer concert series. There was an agreement reached. Musicians gave a little. The symphony gave a little. I think a lot of people thought that was it. It was the troubles were over. What happened in the succeeding years to make this become necessary?
Well, I think the big thing that happened that could not have been anticipated was the downturn. You know, the serious downturn of the economy. And I think the Columbus Symphony, unlike most symphonies, really has no safety net. It doesn't have an endowment of its own. It doesn't have a cash reserve. It's really been skating on very thin ice. And so even when the agreement was reached and the orchestra came back and the musicians took serious concessions, there still wasn't that safety net. So when the economy happened and the impact of the economy was really brutal, particularly on individual contributions in the annual fund, which accounts for about half of our budget, You know, that was a curveball that wasn't anticipated and was really problematic.
How is, you mentioned the giving. How about the attendance to the shows and the concerts?
Well, that's really interesting because actually that's a, you know, a really you know, a positive thing. Ticket sales, single ticket sales, have been at the highest level since 2001, which is delightful because that really is the sort of the critical metric. You know, are more people, as it is for any business.
Yeah.
You know, you're growing your customer base, and the fact that people are turning concerts at those levels, I think, is really encouraging.
So it's, but it's, you still need the back end support, the donations, the corporate support, the individual giving to really make
that's right. I mean,
symphony thrive.
Your conversation with Mike was interesting because, and actually, this is what really attracted me to come here. You know, I think what the Columbus Symphony's experience is something that most orchestras are going to experience. And here it's more critical because we didn't have that, you know, the safety net or the underpinnings to the weather, the storm. But the storm is really beyond the economy. It really has to do with the way that people are consuming music these days and, you know, the disruption that broadband internet, you know, distribution has caused in the way that people, you know, access and enjoy all kinds of entertainment. And symphony orchestras acclimate. I need to move towards the 21st century and really embrace some of these technologies in the way that, you know, helps people enjoy the music in new ways.
Bill Connor from Kappa, who called whom? Did you call them or did they call you?
Oh, no. Roland came to visit, and I think that Roland and the symphony had this unique vision. It's a partnership that we really haven't seen anywhere in the United States before, where you have the Performing Arts Center, the orchestra, and in this case, the players, the musicians, all coming together to create a new financial platform for the orchestra.
You call it a partnership. Jeff Stoller in Sunday's Columbus Dispatch, the political cartoonist, has you, I guess this is you, Bill, with a suit with the Kappa on it, and you have your bent over, arms outstretched, and you are carrying ARPA Columbus, the CSO, the Franklin Park Conservatory, CATCO, Children's Theater, Phoenix Theater. Can you handle it all?
Well, we're not really carrying them. It's a cartoon. But we provide we do provide a lot of financial and marketing services for a lot of the performing arts organizations in Central Ohio, and that's been a really positive for us, and I think a positive for those organizations. And I think what it allows us to do is the back office management, and it allows Roland to do the creative art, which is freeing in many ways.
Is that the way, Roland, that arts organizations have to operate, not just in Columbus but across the country, especially in smallish cities?
I think so. I mean, this really is innovative. I mean, it's a situation of 1 + 1 really equaling 3. And at the end of the day, what I mean by that is that, you know, what we need to do, and this is the collective we, is invest our resources to the optimal extent possible in the art form itself. Because at the end of the day, the raison d'etre of the Columbus Symphony is to connect the music to people inside and outside of the concert hall. And if we can invest our resources to the maximum extent possible, and I think this integration, if you want to call it that, with Kappa, the kind of efficiencies that I think would be possible otherwise to do just that.
As part of this arrangement, part of the cost-cutting, budget-cutting you've had to do, that there will be a shorter schedule. Musicians are taking a pay cut partly
right.
because of the shorter schedule. How will this affect what folks enjoy at a performance?
Well, actually, ideally, not at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we've done is we've consolidated the season. Now, in 2007, the season was 46 weeks. Mm-hmm. That is, the musicians were compensated for 46 weeks. And then in the adjustment that you mentioned a couple of years ago, that was pulled back to 38 weeks, and a good part of that had to do with contracted services with the symphonies engaged for the opera and the ballet and that sort of thing. This current adjustment pulls that back to 25 weeks, but what we've done is preserved what I'm calling our mission critical activities, the events that we produce and present ourselves at the Ohio Theater mainly. And for those activities, which would be the classical series, the pop series, Picnic with the Pops, our educational concerts, which are multifold, and the family concerts, those are all preserved intact with no change. So from the public's point of view, that's completely seamless. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we look to accomplish.
Is it going to be harder to recruit? You're in the process of hiring a music director.
Yes.
Is it going to be harder to recruit a top-notch music director with the uncertainty of these cuts?
I don't think so. I mean, it really has to do with the this organization going forward. And that's where sort of a leapfrog opportunity for us to go from an organization that's been somewhat tentative to one that really is visionary and forward-thinking and moving. This alignment with Kappa allows that in, I think, a unique kind of way. And I think, you know, we're looking for a music director that really aligns with that vision. And I'm confident that we'll be successful in that regard.
Along the same lines, is it harder to retain and recruit musicians?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the musicians' compensation, factoring in benefits a couple of years ago, was somewhere in the range of $64,000 or so. Now, with this second alignment, it's been significantly reduced to in the 30s. I think it's somewhere around $38,000 or something like that, depending how you count it. That's a huge adjustment. It'll have a major impact on their quality of life, which is regretful. Obviously, no one wants that to happen, but we really were talking about survival. Will we have an impact? No, the interesting thing is, more qualified musicians are graduating from the top conservatories than ever before. So the supply and demand equation is sort of, interesting. So while the talent is there, the jobs are not. You know, there are fewer jobs.
It's a bit of an employer's market now, anyway.
Yeah, the level of competition is remarkable.
We're speaking about the future of the Columbus arts scene, in particular the recent announcement of a partnership, formation of a partnership between Kappa and the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. Bill Connor from Kappa, is this your biggest challenge you've faced to try to help this organization, the CSO, get through these turbulent waters?
I think that our board really wants to make sure that we don't lose any cultural infrastructure during the recession. And I'm with Roland. I mean, the announcement by PNC to start to invest $1.5 million in just arts in Central Ohio maybe is an indication we're starting to turn the corner. And so, yeah, I think that what we want to do is be as helpful as we can during bad times and then go back to our real mission. We run 8 different theaters here in town, and we get to work with 21 different arts organizations.
So do you anticipate this being a permanent partnership, or is this a temporary partnership?
I think we're looking at it over the next 5 years, mm-hmm. with the goal to be able to create a viable business model and to rebuild the balance sheet and the cash reserves and hopefully rebuild the endowment. Roland was saying this was an orchestra with no safety. So if we can have a strong balance sheet and endowment, then the orchestra should be in a place that it should be able to really, I think, join orchestras throughout the United States in being part of the new music scene.
Bill, as far as position reductions, layoffs from administrative positions, what are we looking at there? Any of those?
There'll be some layoffs. It's actually not as significant. We're all told we'll probably be able to reduce the budget by $750,000 through this back office operation. We're joining in with musicians who've already made concessions that helped reduce the budget by $1 million. That is a really strong – a $7 million budget for Columbus is a very viable budget. We're very fortunate. I think Roland was kind of a visionary. A lot of these positions had been done by consultants, so now we'll pick up those responsibilities. So it's not a big layoff piece, but it is a piece that really provides a lot more stability.
Any danger in other segments of Kappa's efforts being hurt by taking on this new responsibility?
Well, I think it provides a tremendous opportunity for my staff to work more hours, and they're very happy about that.
Job security, I suppose.
And tremendous job
security. Half day, 7 in the morning, 7 at night.
Yeah, so and everyone's losing weight, so it's really worked out to be a good thing.
But on a serious note, I mean, are you spreading yourselves too thin, I guess is the question.
I don't think so. I think that the nice part about this particular business model is it's pretty elastic. So if we can continue to attract high-quality people in these managerial back-office opportunities, then that means that we can create succession, and succession inside our company means that we have the ability to do more. Okay. So it's a pretty good model.
We're speaking about the future of arts organizations here in Central Ohio. Right now we're talking about the partnership between Kappa and the Columbus Symphony Orchestra with Bill Connor. He is the Kappa president, and Roland Valera, he is the CEO and president of the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. There was some talk when this was first announced that the CSO was looking at cutting musician salaries and cutting the schedule and forming a partnership with Kappa. There was some chatter that maybe the Columbus Symphony Orchestra should be with another orchestra in Ohio, Dayton, Cincinnati, I'm not sure Cleveland wants to merge with anybody, but is that a possibility down the road, Roland? Is that a way for these orchestras to survive?
Well, you know, a number of orchestras, and some that I'm aware of, had even been involved in, you know, have looked at those sorts of things over time. You know, when I was up in upstate New York, Syracuse and Buffalo and Rochester looked at it, and there were many others as well. And, you know, I mean, on the surface, the notion seemed interesting, but when you really sort of drill down and look at the numbers and gather a plan, it tends not to be very viable. They really, you know, are not the kind of savings that you think of necessarily possible. So that's probably pretty unlikely because the numbers really don't work.
Do you lose that sort of unique Central Ohio-based support if you merge with another city's orchestra?
You probably do. You probably do, at least to some extent. And I think that's a key thing because in a world that really is global, you know, in a sense, we're competing with the Berlin Philharmonic, who's launched the Digital Concert Hall. I mean, how do you compete with that? You compete with that by doing something that's unique in your community and the way that you can be best in the world at. And that's exactly what we're trying to do.
292-8513, if you would like to join our conversation, 292-8513. Are you a regular CSO concert goer? Do you support the CSO? We'd like to hear from you. Perhaps you don't go anymore for financial reasons or other reasons. Give us a call and explain why. 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann Fisher today. Bill, can Columbus support in the long term, 10 years out, a symphony orchestra here?
Yes. You know, this is a town with a very, very rich music tradition. We have Ohio State, we have Capital University, Otterbein have amazing music programs. We actually enjoy two orchestras. We have ProMusica and the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. The audience for, Roland can tell you, the audience for the classical music series is extremely strong and very, very loyal. And then I think bringing new marketing opportunities that are internet and iPhone-based, you know, provides an opportunity for new audiences to really participate what's very important in our culture, which is hearing live classical music.
Roland, how's that going to work? Is there an iPhone app that you all have?
We do. In fact, we've been putting a toe in the water and a few things. We're streaming our concerts, you know, now, which means you can get them online, you know, shortly after the performances themselves. We've had, I think, over 20,000, you know, streams so far just over the last few months. And we have an iPhone app that's been downloaded, I think, in now 26 countries, go figure. You know, not in the, you know, we've done download cards so that as a fundraiser with the Mid-Ohio Food Bank and Charity Newsies. And so we're trying some different things. At the end of the day, I think, you know, we see three ways to enjoy the Columbus Symphony's concerts. The traditional way of live in the concert hall, which is a unique experience, but also simulcast alternative venues, you know, which may be a little more intimate and maybe might be more attractive to younger people, and also on demand, so that you can, you know, enjoy the concerts at the time and place of your convenience. And I think the notion is that through greater access to the performances will actually inspire greater attendance in the concert hall itself.
Is that your sales pitch to musicians who might be reluctant to buy into the download or the streaming on the web notion? Because, you know, that's their work and they want to be compensated for all these different platforms.
Well, but I think, this is not supplemental work, at least not in my view. This is seminal. This is the DNA of the institution. This is the way. It's all about the music, and that's what we need to remember. Mm-hmm. You know, the musicians are the vessel that makes the music come alive. Mm-hmm. But it's not the music itself. The music itself, Beethoven's violin concerto, whatever it might be, that's what's special. And to hear that live, you know, in a way that's brought to life by the musicians in the concert hall is unique. Mm-hmm. But we're having this conversation face-to-face, but our listeners out there are not. They're listening on the radio. So it's a different kind of experience, but it's a way of communicating. That's exactly what this is.
Mm-hmm. They've bought into this. Has it been hard to convince the musicians?
Not at all.
No.
The musicians have been real partners in this, as the union. And, you know, we're probably, and I know this because of some of the national interest that's come forward, you know, we really are breaking new ground here in a collaborative kind of way, working in partnership hand-to-hand in a way that's really been delightful.
Mm-hmm. 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Bill Connor, will the symphony be moving around, not just at the Ohio Theater downtown? Will we see it in other theaters, other venues? Roland mentioned more intimate venues, perhaps.
I think Roland has an amazing vision. And so, yeah, you could see the orchestra playing in different size formats. Currently, our main goal is to get everything back into the Ohio. So next year, Pops and Classical will all be in the Ohio Theater. But over time, I can see with the kind of vision, the Lincoln Theater, which is new, is completely connected to fiber. And so it can broadcast anywhere in the world or into an iPhone or any place. So we're trying to make our theaters more electronic friendly and more contemporary.
We have an email from Bob. He says Columbus is too conservative to support the arts. He's furrowed brow reaction. What do you think about that?
I don't think that's the case at all. I think we have a very, very strong arts community. Last year, the community created almost $350,000 worth of economic impact. We had over 2 million people come to the arts. We had more people come to performing arts in downtown Columbus than come to Ohio State football games, which is our benchmark. and I think we really are very, very fortunate. We have a very dynamic community, an incredibly good audience. Our audience is amazing and comes not just from inside 270. And they love all of the things that go on.
Mm-hmm. Roland, is the Columbus Symphony red or blue or purple?
All of those things. Uh-huh. At the end of the day, it's about the results, right?
Yeah.
And the best predictor of future performance is past behavior, past results. And I think the results speak for themselves. And the results, I'm talking about the people showing up and attending concerts. We need to produce concerts which are extraordinary. That's the world in which we live. We are doing that. And we will continue to do that. And if we continue to do that, I think, audiences will turn out in even greater numbers.
Okay. We'll take a break here on All Sides on WOSU 820. When we return, we'll get even a bigger picture of the arts scene here in Central Ohio with the interim president for the Greater Columbus Arts Council. That's when All Sides continues on WOSU 820.
Support WOSU by bidding on unique culinary-themed packages online now. With the Chefs in the City Baker's Dozen, you can bid on 13 of the most sought-after Chefs in the City silent auction packages, even if you don't have a ticket to the event. Go to wosu.org/chefs to view all 13 items up for bid. These great items will sell on the evening of April 15th. Proceeds from this and all of Chefs in the City 2010 events will directly support children's educational programming on WOSU TV.
And you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher with host Mike Thompson on WOSU 820 NPR News. In just about 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides will be here. And with special coverage for the May 4th primary election, we'll hear two points of view about State Issue 2, a proposed constitutional amendment to change the location of the Columbus Casino facility, authorized previously by a statewide vote. That discussion begins at 11 right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. It's 50 degrees in downtown Columbus. Cloudy skies today. There is a chance of rain showers this morning and steady temperatures in the mid-50s today. Clouds tonight with a chance of rain tonight as well. Much colder, a low of 35 degrees tonight. Some sunshine for Friday and a high of 53. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today to get a bigger picture on the arts scene in Central Ohio. Let's talk to the interim president for GCAC. Milt Bowman is the president of the Greater Columbus Arts Council. This council, of course, helps fund arts organizations and arts projects throughout Central Ohio. Milt, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you very much.
Let's get your take on the state of the arts here in Central Ohio right now.
Well, good. I think just to give your listeners a little bit of context, let me try to describe what GCAC's role is. as many people appreciate, we were formed by the city actually in 1973, and we've got really four main goals. One is to be a grant-making organization. We are responsible for being a conduit for the hotel-motel bed tax to provide hopefully a thoughtful and professional grant-making process that goes into operating support for the larger organizations, project support, technical assistance, and also for individual artists. We also do the Arts Festival, which is obviously well-known to most Central Ohioans. And don't forget, it's the first weekend of June, and we're looking forward to that. And I know we'll have good weather. The other thing that we do is—
Did you move it away from the memorial this time?
Well, I wish
we could. To ensure good weather?
No. But we are going to be in the Discovery District again,
okay,
so which worked out real well for us last year. And then we've got an educational outreach program, which has been real effective, working with groups like Transit Arts and city schools around the community. And finally, an advocacy role. So we're very appreciative of the opportunities we have to support not only the larger organizations in the community that are so important to us, but also the smaller emerging organizations and also individual artists.
How's that pool of resources? How does it compare in size to 5 years ago, 3 years ago?
Well, our funding comes from the hotel-motel bed tax. We get a portion of that tax. The tax is 10%. We get 1.5% of the 10%. The high point for that tax was really in 07 and 08, where it was our share was close to $4 million. Unfortunately, with the economic situation we've all encountered, that has gone down. So that has put more pressure on us with the reduced funding and certainly more people interested in needing that funding. And the nature of that funding has become all the more important for so many organizations.
Would you like more of that bed tax?
Well,
silly question, I know. But
it goes to a number of different places. I think, and I don't want to get ahead of our conversation, but I think one of the things that we need to do as a community is to be able to talk about funding for the arts and what public funding means for the arts and what other sources of funding might be available in addition to the bed tax. But that's a conversation that has to go across the community and in terms of getting people comfortable that idea makes sense. I think one of the things that's real important, though, is to have a little bit of an economic backdrop on what's happened to arts organizations over the last 5 years. We participated in a study that was done last year that looked at 05 to 09 in terms of support to the arts and what was happening to arts organizations. And what we saw during that period, that of the 40 organizations that we were monitoring since 05, four of them had gone out of business. Two of them had merged, CATCO and Phoenix, and really all of these organizations were facing significant deficits. In 05, 13 of 36 organizations had deficits. In 09, 8 of 36 organizations had deficits. And I think what's happened is that the arts organizations have been very good stewards of their funds. While they've managed through lower revenues, which are down 11% in that period, they did that through cuts in personnel and expenses and tried not to sacrifice programming. But what we've really are reaching is a point where sustainability is questionable for a lot of organizations. And if we can't find ways to increase funding for the arts, we're really going to see a different offerings from cultural organizations in our community.
Okay. 292-8513, if you'd like to join in our conversation. Do you have a solution for long-term funding for the arts in Central Ohio, an idea to help keep the arts thriving in this community? Please give us a call at 292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. The lack of the local ownership of major businesses in the city is constantly changing. It's not really a new phenomenon, but it's lessened in the past few years. Lazarus is gone. Bank One is gone. Not gone, but they're owned by outside entities. Wendy's now owned by a company outside of Central Ohio. How has that hurt arts funding?
Well, I think clearly it has to a certain degree, and we hope that this is a phenomenon that will change with better economic times for the community as a whole. But I'm not terribly concerned that – I do feel that long-term we'll have the support from the corporate community. And things that like PNC's announcement earlier this week on Arts Alive, an example of where organizations in the community have been very, very important supporters, and we continue to have good support from the community. We also have extremely good support from the city, both at the, in the mayor's office and city council, and also the county. And that's a very important partnership. And also the Columbus Foundation has been really helpful in trying to find ways to support the arts as these arts groups can, have struggled over the last 4 or 5 years.
We'll bring in our other guests, Bill and Roland. Competition for entertainment dollars. How much do you compete with the Blue Jackets, Roland, for instance?
Oh, I don't think so much there. I mean, I guess there's a certain sort of marginal extent that might be true. I really think our core, you know, market is more in the cultural arena, particularly, you know, classical music and then, you know, more broadly, you know, other kinds of music.
Do you ever have an instance where a company or a corporation would say, look, we're cutting our budget, but we're going to keep our luxury box at Nationwide, but we have to reduce our season ticket allotment for the symphony? Is that a competition?
I don't think so. I mean, look, it's, you know, if you're in the coffee business, you know, your prime market are coffee drinkers. I mean, to some extent, tea drinkers are competition, but, you know, not in that way. And I think it's very much similar for us.
Bill Connor from Kappa. Competition, you know, there's so many more things out there, not just to attend in person, but you've digital cable with, you know, 1,000 channels or whatever it is now and things like that. The audience is very fragmented in what drives our attention, what draws our attention.
You know, I think the trends are kind of almost counterintuitive in that what happens when people see a live experience, they really appreciate it, and they have a tendency to go back and see another live experience. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to New York, no one really says, oh, gee, you know, there's all this competition. The Broadway theaters are going to have a problem. Right now, it's been the last 4 years. Broadway has had the best 4 years ever, both in terms of attendance and in terms of dollars. Mm-hmm. So I think that as much as all these new opportunities for us in terms of marketing, really, the live experience is something that's very, very special for us. Seeing ourselves on stage is incredibly informing.
292-8513 if you'd like to join in our conversation. We should remind you, I don't want to get Christopher Purdy too mad at me, that talking about these other ways to listen to the great Columbus Symphony Orchestra is 89.7 FM. We do live broadcast of the Columbus Symphony each and every week. So new media, old media, you can hear your symphony every week here on 89.7 FM WOSU. Bill, let me ask a hard question. Do we have too many arts organizations? Can a city of this size, as passionate as it is about the arts, can it support this many organizations? Two symphonies, an opera, ballet?
Well, I think what we see in Columbus right now is an extremely vibrant arts community. I think we see an arts community that's making a very strong economic development commitment to the city. These arts organizations bring in over $330 million in revenue to the city's economy. They have 11,000 jobs. But to come back more clearly to try to answer your point, I think that the opportunities we have in the community with a number of different organizations is really healthy. It really challenges all artistic. It challenges us all from a marketing perspective. And I think overcapacity, if it is there, and I don't feel that it necessarily is at all, is really addressed by buying tickets and audience participation. And there's no suggestion that I've seen that that's an issue.
Bill, go ahead, Roland.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I've said this before. You know, I mean, my view on this is, you know, arts organizations do not have a divine right to exist. You know, we exist in a marketplace like anybody else. We have a service that we need to deliver. We deliver that service effectively, then we'll be successful. We don't deliver that service effectively, then we won't. So the burden really is upon us. I think the competition, you know, I think that the main threat actually is digital consumption of entertainment and culture. You know, it's like the when the telephone was invented and the impact of that on the telegraph, or the, you know, the Model T Ford to the horse and buggy, or the, you know, Apple II computer, the IBM Selectric typewriter. When there's a new disruptive innovation, you either adapt or you die. And I think that is the challenge for us, and I think that's also the opportunity.
Challenge for a lot of people, including those of us in radio and television and newspapers. I mean, we're going through that same situation as how do we adapt to these new technologies and these new venues. Bill Connor from Kappa, I asked you earlier if Kappa itself was spreading itself too thin. Is Columbus spreading itself too thin?
I don't think so. You know, we operate 8 theaters in Columbus. That's a lot of theaters. Yeah. And on any given weekend, all 8 are totally booked. We opened a new theater on Long Street, the Lincoln Theater, just a year ago, come Memorial Day. Already 75,000 people have come to that theater. It's been a huge success, way, way more than what we ever – 25,000 more people than we thought would come in the first year. So I don't know. I think that there's great things going on in the new technologies. I still think our audiences here enjoy live.
I mean, that's a complaint I hear, is that we have too many theaters, too many venues to support. But you're saying that we don't.
No, we've grown from – you know, since I've been here, we've grown from 7 to 21 arts organizations that we serve in these theaters. Mm-hmm. You know, the neat thing about our community right now, a lot of – and Milt can tell you, a lot of young theater companies, a lot of them, a lot of students from the MFA program from Ohio State don't leave. They create a new theater company. They stay here, and more is better. You know, more is better in the arts. You have a great experience. You go see Wicked, and you have a great experience. You turn right around and go see CATCO.
Okay, let's go to the phones. And Therese is on the air. Go ahead, Therese. Hello. Therese, you there? Well, apparently not. Let's try to get her back on in a couple minutes. She had a basically talk about this whole competitive nature. We talked about the theaters. You know, one suggestion, I think Barbara Zook from the Dispatch, formerly of the Dispatch, and Christopher Purdy here at WOSU was saying, you know what we need? We need a Severance Hall. We need one more theater. Roland, do we need a real symphony-only concert hall?
Well, I think, you know, it's a good question. I mean, you go to a movie these days, you don't typically see it in a 2,800-seat mm-hmm. theater. The world has just shifted and it's changed. And, you know, the concert halls in Europe are some of the best concert halls even in this country tend to be more intimate because the perception of success is in a way even more important than the reality of success. And what I mean by that is, you know, the notion that you're in a place where it's just where it's full, where other people enjoy the dynamic and the energy of that experience is really important. And then the acoustical element that is, you know, in a hall that really is designed for an orchestra is very different than a hall that's multipurpose and those sorts of things. I do think in this world in which we live, the idea of excellence is going to be all the more important, not just in terms of musical execution, but in terms of the total experience itself.
I hate to find myself agreeing with Christopher on WOSU Radio.
We're noting the day and time.
Please do. but I think that, you know, we looked at one time the actually taking the Palace, which is similar to Severance, and making it a symphony-only hall and probably reducing it down to 1,500 seats. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Roland, the new orchestral halls are all built under capacity. Just like the NBA has a tendency to build less seats than the market can use, we're starting that same kind of intelligentsia.
Leave the audience wanting more.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually critically important.
Mm-hmm. Milt, how do you convince – I mean, we've built a brand-new baseball stadium downtown. We've built a brand-new hockey arena downtown. We've got a relatively new basketball arena at Ohio State. How do we convince the donors, the financiers, the government institutions that, you know, we should build not just sports venues but arts venues or improve arts venues, as Bill was mentioning?
Well, I think one of the ways you do that is you look at return on investment, and I think that's a measure that many of those donors are going to look at very quickly. And the Americans for the Arts did a study in Columbus in 2007, and they concluded from that study that every dollar invested into the arts returned $22 to the community. And that was a ratio that was significantly higher than other communities around the country. And that's an indication of the strength and the vitality that those kinds of investments can bring. And those are the things that investors, that donors are going to want to look at. And they're also going to want to be sure that organizations are efficient and good stewards of those funds. And that's another test that I think the organizations in Columbus pass with flying colors.
Okay, let's try Teresa again. Go ahead. You're on the air. We are having issues with the phones today, so we're going to give up on the phones. We apologize for that. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us. That's the alternate form of communication here with All Sides. The email address is allsides@wosu.org. Government funding. We've talked about it a bit with the bed tax that helps GCAC, fund organizations. Do we need a separate, an arts levy? Would that be a good solution to bring some stability to this market?
I think it's a topic that needs to be discussed fully in the community, and that we need to try to develop a consensus thinking around. It's not something you can flip a switch and develop, but it's certainly an option that needs to be evaluated. And the study that went on around the Blue Jackets situation identified a half dozen to 12 different approaches to public funding, not just for the Blue Jackets, but for other things. But I think one of the things that's critical for us in this community is to try to develop that conversation across all constituencies to be sure we get a consensus around what's the best thing to do.
When you look at the Columbus Zoo, they're levy-supported, tax-supported, and they pass with flying colors all the time because I think people look at the zoo and they look at how they've expanded and how they've managed their money. So in theory, you could do it.
I think so. The library has a levy, and the library's world class. The zoo has a levy; it's world class. Mm-hmm. So I think does the arts need some new source of public funding? Yes. You know, is it a levy? Is it Cleveland did a sin tax? Is it a county? Is it an admissions tax like LA does? But we know that the need is there, and the audiences, the people who live in Columbus, love what we do. You know, they're our big constituents.
All sides at WOSU.org if you'd like to join our conversation. Roland, what will the CSO look like 5 years from now?
Well, I think that we'll be ideally performing to more people and more extraordinary venues and more places. And really, I think the pie is not finite. I think it's expandable in almost infinite kind of ways. And I think we've got the opportunity here to be a leader in that way, not only for this community, but even beyond.
Bill Connor, the arts scene in Central Ohio, Kappa, the theaters, will they still be packed in 5 years?
Yeah, I think so. The good news is that the economy will be better in 5 years. And so therefore, we'll all knock on wood on that one. And I think that not only that, our corporate community is also coming out of the recession. So, in this year, you saw what PNC is doing. Others are coming back online. So I think our community will be much more rich than it is today. And I think we'll have a lot more artists living in Columbus. And that makes for a much better city, too.
Okay. And Milt, final word. What's your prediction 5 years out?
Oh, I think we're going to continue to have a community that's going to be increasingly recognized with a vibrant arts sector, and look forward to participating in that.
You think we'll get more than that small percentage of the bed tax?
We can hope.
All right. Thanks to our guests, Roland Valera from the Columbus Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
Bill Connor from Kappa and Milt Bauman from GCAC. Thanks very much for joining us on All Sides on WOSU H20, WOSU HD Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820, NPR News.